Hello, and welcome to this MANCAD, British Academy of Audiology podcast. MANCAD, or Manchester Centre for Audiology and Deafness, is located at the University of Manchester in the UK. And I'm Gabrielle, or Gabby Saunders, and I'm a Senior Research Fellow at MANCAD, and I moderate these podcasts. We want these podcasts to support ongoing learning, particularly during this COVID-19 crisis. So we're focusing on topics that are pertinent to the practice of audiology and to people with hearing loss, under the current circumstances. But we're going to continue the podcast on into the future, even when life has returned to normal, whatever that might be. We're going to record a new podcast each month, and that we hope will be of interest to hearing care providers everywhere and maybe a wider audience. Each will be about 20 minutes long. If you want more information, you can find it on the front page of the MANCAD website. I'll read you the URL, but if you search for MANCAD Audiology, you will find it. But the URL is research.bmh.manchester.ac.uk/mancat/podcast. So on to today, our speaker is Dr. Jenna Littlejohn. She's a research associate at the University of Manchester, and she's the head of research and dementia services for the Deafness Support Network. She's going to be answering a few questions that I'm going to ask her on the topic of hearing loss, loneliness, and mental health during social distancing. We hope you'll find the upcoming content interesting and informative. But before I begin, I'm going to hand you over to Jenna, who's going to introduce herself.
Thank you. So thank you for having me to talk on the podcast today. So my background is much more in basic science and specialise in neurology and neuroscience and neuropsychology. So I really sort of interested in hearing from a much different aspect. And my research is into hearing loss and cognitive decline and dementia and the kind of the links between those two. So that's the angle that I've approached hearing loss from. So it's been a lot of sort of self-taught and taught from other people, my audiology background knowledge.
Right. But that's great because I think it's really helpful for audiologists to get a different perspective on things that we think we know about, but maybe we don't. Okay, so Jenna, why don't you set the scene for us and tell us like how you came to be interested in this hearing loss, loneliness, and mental health issues during social distancing?
Okay, so as I mentioned, my research is really into hearing loss and cognitive decline. And I'm really interested in looking at it as hearing loss as a risk factor, and also how we can best support people who are living with hearing loss and dementia, because there's almost two completely separate things that we need to do there. But one of the areas which I'm kind of most interested in is trying to understand the mechanism of hearing loss and dementia. So most people will probably have heard of, I'm sure, that people with hearing loss appear to have a greater risk for developing dementia. And one of the theories as to how this might be is through this psychosocial pathway. So it's that people with hearing loss might be more likely to be isolated or lonely or depressed, low self-esteem, and those factors themselves increase the risk for developing cognitive impairment and dementia. So that's really how I've got interested in this sort of triangle or this link with hearing loss, mental health, which I think is, you know, obviously a big factor at the moment.
Yeah, because we've been hearing a lot about loneliness and isolation because of the pandemic. So I presume that's sort of part of all of this.
Yeah, and I think, you know, mental health is particularly pertinent at the moment. And the UK government guidelines on social distancing, you know, we're all being told to stay away from people and hide away as much as possible. But this is particularly stronger for people who are over the age of 70. They've been suggested at the moment they're, you know, high risk, vulnerable population. They've got to take extra precautions, potentially shielding. And, you know, they're the ones that are at, as well as other conditions, but high risk for developing and you know, having sort of negative response to the virus. So they're being sort of told to shield more than others. So if we kind of think of the people over the age of 70, we'd expect 70% of them to have hearing loss. Really, this kind of exacerbates this loneliness and isolation in older people with hearing loss. And there's a big difference between social isolation, which is an objective measure really of people's social networks and people's communications. And this is obviously kind of controlled for everyone at the moment. We're none of us are, our social networks probably, or hopefully for most people, aren't as they were. I don't mean hopefully, but you know, shouldn't be in terms of following the guidance. But then there's the subjective feelings around the social isolation. And that's really where this social and emotional loneliness come into. And this itself has been known to affect long-term mental health consequences, quality of life, early mortality, risk of you know, dementia and everything. So really, it's what I'm interested in is this over 70s, potentially high risk shielding group are probably at much increased risk of being isolated with reduced social networks and feeling lonely. So we're really, how is this going to affect people's mental health now, but also in the long term?
Yeah, that makes sense because it's a huge deal. So then explain a little bit how hearing loss layers onto that.
Well, I think what we've seen from the past research is that hearing loss is associated with these increased rates of social isolation, loneliness, depression, and feelings of low self-esteem. And I guess during this pandemic, where we're not supposed to be communicating face-to-face, people are relying on, technology to communicate, or we're relying on phone calls or video calls or speaking to people from afar. And this can be really hard for people with hearing loss, I think. I've heard from lots of people who have hearing loss who have sort of said, actually, I really struggle on video calls. And this is even for people who are at any age, any age with hearing loss and working, and we're working from home. Or MANCAD, the university has everyone's working from home, and we're spending a lot of time on video calls. And there is some talk, well, this is great because it's still face-to-face communication, but actually it's not quite the same. I don't know if you've sort of thought anything on this as well. And although we can still get some of the visual cues, people with hearing loss really still struggle to hear over the video call. And there's increased cognitive effort and delays. And I know some people have mentioned about subtitles on the technology, which just doesn't work. So they can be left feeling, much more tired, fatigued, much more effort to go into having this conversation. And it leads back to that age old, well, perhaps they just won't engage to the same, and therefore they'll become more isolated, the networks will decrease, and they'll feel more lonely. And then, you're back in this sort of cycle of potentially, poor mental health now and in the future. And I think also from listening to your last podcast with Kevin Munro, there's the issues with face masks, the face coverings, as well exacerbating issues for communication with people with hearing loss. So even if you are face-to-face, chances are you might be wearing a face mask. I know, that's obviously, we don't need to go into that. There's a really good discussion, and there's lots of discussions going on around that as well. But, people with hearing loss might struggle even more due to these, the lockdown and the effects of lockdown. So that's kind of why, I'm interested in understanding mental health in this group of people specifically.
Yeah, that makes a total sense. I'm just going to do a bit of self-promotion because we're actually right now running a survey on the impact of face coverings on communication and hearing, and to what extent does it, not only is there the sort of simple hearing aspect of it, but there is the sort of feeling of connection and engagement with the person, because it's certainly my perception, and I'm in finding this out from the survey, is if somebody has a face covering, it's almost like there's a barrier there. And so your feeling of, well, should I be even engaging with this person, and to what extent should I be chatting and having a social conversation versus more using it for simply information exchange?
Well, completely. I'm not going out much, but going for a walk, And even if you cross the road, you try and smile at people, don't you, and say hello. And if you've got a face mask on, people don't know you're smiling at them necessarily, or can they hear you if you say hello? You know, so like you said, it's a barrier to even that meaningless or what we, you know, what we call in when we're talking about isolation and loneliness. It's actually, it's very meaningful to have those conversations with strangers.
Yeah, exactly. So has there been any evidence as yet? I know there's lots of people looking into it, but has there been evidence that COVID-19 has changed anything from a hearing loss and mental health perspective?
So I know there's lots of research being undertaken across the University of Manchester that I know of, and I'm sure nationally and internationally, and you know, there's lots and lots of things coming out about the effects of coronavirus on quality of life and mental health. And there's lots of awareness for people, for children, for working from home, for people on furlough, for people adapting, you know, to changing our way of life from you know, from a kind of a mental health point of view. But as far as I'm aware, although there's some research looking into, you know, how coronavirus might affect hearing specifically, I know there's a publication which is coming out shortly from MANCAD, looking, you know, systematic review of the effects of you know, people who've had the virus on hearing dysfunction. And there's, you know, there's lots of interest in that. I don't think there's anything, or there's nothing that I'm aware of specifically, which is looking at hearing loss and mental health. So that's something that over the past couple of months, a small team of us at MANCAD have been interested in and we're working on. And what we want to see and what we want to try and measure is whether the effects of social distancing are more severe for older people with hearing loss in terms of mental health issues compared to older people with normal hearing levels.
Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, so it's tricky to be able to know how to measure this best. So what we've had to do, obviously research is hard to do in this time, so we're not supposed to see anyone face to face. So we have turned it into an online survey, which is aimed at people over the age of 70, which I know in itself is a sort of hard to reach digital demographic. You know, there might be slightly differences we'll get from that. But what we're hoping to do is attract people over the age of 70 for various reasons. One of them is this social distancing. And we know that people over the age of 70 potentially won't be working as much, so that they will be social, you know, they will be at home more. And we're asking them, and obviously they're kind of being told that they're a vulnerable population and they should be shielding more. And so we're asking questions about their living situations, their demographics, their background, and we're trying to work out whether the hearing loss itself is a factor over and above other factors that we know, such as, you know, if people live on their own in a flat compared to living with their family and they have a beautiful garden and they can go for a walk. Or, you know what I mean? Especially potentially before, when we weren't supposed to be going out as much. So we are asking the respondents to complete various questionnaires, such as self-report hearing measures, questions about their social interactions before the pandemic, and also now during lockdown, now how they are. And then also questions of their mood, so any depressive thoughts and any feelings, any anxiety, you know, feelings of anxiety, social and emotional loneliness, and general change in cognitive function. So we're trying to ask this as soon as they enroll, and then 12 weeks later, as we kind of see how the lockdown and everything changes, we'll be able to relate it to that period in time. So we're kind of hoping to, yeah, basically sort of turning it back around, hoping to see whether there is a difference for people with hearing loss because of this over-reliance on technology now. You know, are people with hearing loss, do they get the same, you know, meaningful interactions from a telephone call as somebody who doesn't have hearing loss?
Do you also ask how they're communicating with people now? Like telephone versus video call versus shouting through the window at your neighbours or whatever?
Yeah, so we've tried to ask sort of as thoroughly as possible, you know, how many people do you tend to communicate with on a weekly basis now? You know, so before, and which it's kind of, we've got a before and then a now, and then which medium, and it's how often would you have communicated via this medium? So there's, yes, face to face, there's, you know, in the street, there is on a telephone call, an email, a text message. We're trying to look at different mediums that people are using, and again, you know, is this different for people with hearing loss? But we also have some open-ended questions which ask people, you know, how things have changed specifically for them. What have been any positives from this? What, you know, how have they adapted? And what are potentially the worst negatives? And what are the things that they're finding? And we hope that this will be able to give us some information of how well people are coping. And it might be able to help something that we can sort of share in the future, the people who are isolated, and indeed, especially if they do have hearing loss, to keep them socially connected. So there might be some people who are doing really well, and they've said, well, no, I don't talk on the telephone, but I do X, Y, and Z. And, you know, this is something that potentially we would be able to say. Unfortunately, this pandemic was awful for everyone, but we have learned some things. And, you know, loneliness is such a major factor affecting older people and, you know, affecting people throughout the UK. I think we're one of the loneliest countries or something based on some research done last year, but really affects quality of life and mental health and early mortality. It's not just during this pandemic. So if we can take this time of, you know, people are being told they've got to stay at home, how well you're adapting and what can we learn from it? We're also hoping to kind of to get that, you know, as an added benefit of how can we help people in the future.
Yeah, because it's what it strikes me, and I've thought about this, is that it's sort of bringing loneliness to the mainstream, and therefore hopefully afterwards people will be a lot more aware of it, and it won't just be something that people think of loneliness, oh, that doesn't apply to me, and why would it, so I'm moving on. Now it's like everybody's experienced at least a little bit of that.
Exactly. And I think, you know, exactly. And it's not just then older people who are typically, exactly. You know, 40% of older people say that they are lonely some or all of the time. This is probably, you know, there'll be younger people who have never felt lonely before because they've been so busy, or they, you know, who have never thought that. But during this pandemic, they have. And maybe there's things we can learn from them as well. How can we best support lonely people? So hopefully, and that's why we were kind of asking, have you had any positives, or what have you adapted, and what have you changed, and will you take any positives from this? And that's really trying to, you know, yeah, to understand that.
I mean, I wonder also, I mean, I think we shouldn't forget the positives, because I do think that people have potentially been in contact with more people because of this, because they made the effort.
Exactly. And I think, and that's even for potentially, you know, isolated people. If you know that, you know, your relative lives on their own, and they, you know, you don't contact them that often because you think they go out and about, and they do, and they're very busy. Well, you know, maybe you're contacting them even more now.
Precisely. Where
you wouldn't have before, because everybody has such busy lives. And like you're saying, it might have brought people closer together. And that's something that really we should be reporting on as well.
I think so too. I mean, on a personal level, I would say I have definitely communicated with a much broader range of people because of this, because we think, golly, people, we're all on our own. We got to make the effort. And wouldn't it be wonderful
completely.
If we maintain it over time?
I mean,
it would be really good.
I mean, look, we are exactly the same as you. And I've got some really good friends who live in London, and we speak on the phone, and we, you know, we try and see each other when we can, but we never video called. And with there's, you know, a few of us in a group, and we never video called. And since the pandemic, we've been video calling every week. And we thought, we don't see each other. We see each other a couple of times a year. But really, you know, and that's just, potentially we are going to be more connected from this. But, you know, sort of flipping on its head, we do want to understand how that is for people with hearing loss. You know, is it the same? Is it as easy? What are the challenges? Or, you know, is technology brilliant in some cases? So that's sort of really what we're hoping to find out, is are people with hearing loss disadvantaged in this situation? And perhaps they're not, but perhaps they are due to, you know, the issues.
So just to come sort of, as you put it, come back to the topic before we tie up. So I think it's a fabulous study. So good luck with that. I look forward to hearing the results.
Thank you.
But in the meantime, you know, as an audiologist, what they are, say they're communicating with their patients remotely or however it is, what would you tell them they should do if they have, should they be sort of stepping into the territory of investigating mental well-being, or should they stay away? And if they do, what should they do about it? What advice could you give audiologists on the front line about this?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is really tricky, not being sort of an audiologist myself and understanding exactly how people's practice work. But I think what I do sort of understand from talking to different audiologists and from working in the community, I work for a charity as well, a local Cheshire charity, DSM, and I've spoken to lots of people who access audiology services. And I know that I think potentially not even during the coronavirus, but definitely now, there is a difference in provision across the UK as to what audiologists are offering their patients. You know, are they coming in, are they seeing them face to face, are they seeing them over the phone? And I'm not 100% sure how this is, but I do know that there's some prioritization potentially for children. So I'm not sure, and again, this might be very local in different areas. So whether, you know, audiologists are seeing their patients routinely and they can ask them about that, that's sort of a different question. I mean, we do know that hearing loss is a risk factor for loneliness, and there is some evidence, which we will discuss in the journal club, that treatment of hearing loss with hearing aids or with hearing management might help to alleviate some of this in the short and the long term. So I think it's really important that audiologists are discussing these issues with patients. So if patients are contacting and saying, you know, my hearing aid's broken, I'm sure audiologists are still helping repair them. But you know, sort of as I've said, I'm not completely au fait with the provision in all the areas. But it's really important that they are maintained as soon as possible, because this will have a big impact on it. And then going back to sort of, should audiologists be asking them? In terms of a holistic approach, I think it would be great if audiologists would check in on their mental health specifically now, in this time, because if they are seeing the patients, you know, the patients might be used to going to different medical appointments who might pick up on these things. But during crisis, we know that, you know, lots of medical appointments have been rescheduled, and we're trying to not see people face to face. So if audiologists are seeing or speaking to patients, it might be worth just checking in. And we're not asking about, you know, doing a survey and report and survey or, you know, a questionnaire and asking them specific questions of are they lonely and are they depressed? But, you know, just even a few simple, how are you getting on, and are you coping okay? And if it comes up in conversation, rather than maybe, you know, trying to get the best questionnaire to be able to diagnose anything. We're not suggesting that audiologists should suddenly take on mental health as their, you know, champion, you know, but as their, you know, we are now looking at mental health as well as their hearing. But in terms of holistic care, I don't see why there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to. And I think it's really important that they could potentially check in on their patient. And if there is, you know, it comes up that someone's saying, I'm really struggling, I'm not getting out of bed, I've not got my hearing aid, so I can't hear anyone, so I'm not doing anything. And you think, oh gosh, that's really not normal. Then perhaps after their hearing aid is sorted, the audiologist could check in on them. Or if they didn't feel it was their place, ask the permission to refer to the GP. You know, we're not saying that audiologists should take this on. You know, mental health is such a big and vast and complicated area. I don't think it's the role of the audiologist, but during this time, you know, in the pandemic where there's potentially limited contact, it might be really helpful if audiologists do practice holistic care, as I know they do anyway, you know, in normal practice in clinics. I don't know, what do you think?
Yes, I think audiologists have a role in checking in and being aware if there's an issue. And I think audiologists, their job is to forward on information. It's not their job to cope with it. And in fact, I heard a really fascinating presentation, and I've actually got the paper sitting here, I haven't read it, that's going to come out in the special issue of IJA by John Greer Clark, Chris English, and Joe Montano, who have written a paper called Heightening Our Vigilance Towards Patient Wellbeing. And their message is, ask the difficult questions, and when you have the information, go to the right support source. Don't try to tackle it, but take responsibility for asking the hard questions. And I think that's, personally, I think that's a really good message.
I think that's brilliant. And that's, yeah, like we were saying, hopefully, you know, the audiologist doesn't know if this person's seen any other health professional who might be able to ask. So if you can ask the question, you know, and even put it not in a serious way, but, you know, we're all struggling. How are you getting on? And are you struggling more than normal? Are you okay? Or would you like to talk to someone about that? Not saying it's them, but, you know, with your permission, or even just advising them to contact their own GP, because there are services around at the moment which the GP will be able to refer into. There's lots and lots going on for looking after mental health. So yeah, I think if audiologists are, like you said, can check in and pass on, I think that would be brilliant.
Cool, good. Well, thank you, Jenna. That sounds really good advice. So I think now we are gonna end here. This has been a really fascinating conversation. We'd love to carry on, and we'll probably will. What I'd like to do is encourage those of you listening, if you want to ask follow-up questions or give some feedback, share ideas for future podcasts, you can send me an email. It's accessible through the ManCAD website, or my email address is gabrielle.saunders@manchester.ac.uk, and you spell my name GABRIELLE, and Saunders is SAUNDERS. I hope you enjoyed this discussion, and I hope you're going to come back to hear the next podcast. It'll come out within the next 4 weeks, and we will definitely get the word out both on the website and through mailing lists. Until then, farewell and stay well. Turn off the recording.